Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I thought, wow, the tide is really high at the beach. And then when I got home, I learned we were in a tsunami warning.
I finally decided to take my relationship to the next level, Sarah. I'm getting a joint Costco membership.
Oh, that is a big step. My mom shops at Costco, and that's how I will never ever run out of toilet paper or capers.
Capers, huh? Who needs to go all the way to Bora Bora when you can gargle with limited edition coconut lime Listerine in the comfort of your own home?
Planes not required. Have such a good day. Welcome back to Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do just...
We're coming in hot, y'all. Episode 132.
We are.
Have such a good day. Cheap therapy.
Episode 132. I like that number.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like 1, 2, 3.
It is.
But different. But yeah. It still makes me feel secure.
Yeah, it's like a little... secure, because you got to feel secure in your numbers. That's for sure.
Well, you know, you look at a number sometimes and you're like, I don't like the look of that number.
Yeah. I got to tell you.
And other numbers, you're like, this is a good one.
I know people say this and I'm not special or anything, but like, I am telling you, like 11-11, there is something significant about that for me.
You and Paris Hilton agree.
Oh, great.
Heather.
Oh, great.
And the reason
just the person
I
want to be compared to.
I was watching her latest
reality
show
were.
Recently, and 11-11 is just like such a special time.
Oh boy! Oh,
I'm
great.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Thanks
to ruin
a lot.
This for
you ruined it for me. Well, I'm gonna laugh about it because I sure as hell do not want to cry today.
Oh man, no cry. There's no crying and have such a good day.
No,
we're
never,
not gonna cry.
No.
We actually. I mean, I've. For sure cried. I don't know if you've ever cried.
No, I think you've cried for me though, which is a really good friend.
I just, you know,
and great co-host.
You know, there's just certain times where you're like, I gotta do it. I gotta cry. It's coming.
Yeah, you gotta squeeze one out.
Sort of. Ew. Makes it kind of poopy sounding.
Told you we're coming in hot
squeeze
here.
Out a cry. We are coming in hot. For anybody who's listening to this, this is after MLK Day, but that's when we're recording this. So, You know, happy Martin Luther King Day, everyone. So here's a funny thing, because this is sort of like a twofold story. But so I wear contacts. I'm not wearing them right now because my contacts that were supposed to be delivered in the mail have not yet arrived in my mailbox. So, you know, got to wear glasses or I can't see shit. And this morning, fairly early, I bought this coffee at the at a store that I don't go to that often, grocery store. And I didn't know the brand, where I was like, oh, I don't know, local brand, whatever. I didn't really like it. So I went down to the corner store this morning to get, they have like coffee and percolators. Mm. It's not great coffee, but it'll do the job. You know, I was just like, I don't know, I'm not loving the coffee that I have at the house. And I bought this like weird creamer and, you know, I'll just go get coffee.
You and your weird creamer.
I know. Oh my gosh. So many stories for another time. But as I'm leaving, I see a mail person, mm-hmm. in, you know, in the mail truck. And I'm like, first of all, I didn't expect them today because it's a holiday, mm-hmm. national holiday. And second, I'm actually like legit waiting for something in the mail. Like usually I don't care what's in the mm-hmm. mail, you know, but I really want these contacts. And so I like flagged her down. It was a woman. And I flagged her down. And I was like, hey, I didn't realize you guys were working today. And she kind of looks at me like, what?
What could you possibly what is want?
Because we weren't right next to my house. I mean, we weren't far, but it wasn't like I could like point to my own mailbox yeah. or whatever. But I was like, oh, I was just wondering if you've already gone down Forest Hills. But I'm waiting for some contacts. And she was like, I don't know. Yeah. Like just poison dagger stare where I was like, all right, I'm sorry. All right, go about your business. We're fine. Sorry. I still don't know if they're in the mailbox. I haven't checked since. Oh, gosh.
That's funny. You know, Sarah, I'm kind of ashamed of myself because I just got rid of my Christmas tree. Well, I got rid of it on the 13th of January. And
I got some neighbors with Christmas trees fully up and lit.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, I'm not as like, ashamed I'm like, then.
Yeah, don't be ashamed.
I mean, I was busy. I was out of town. Yeah. I was busy. But I did enjoy it. I mean, it felt kind of weird, like after, you know, January 1st, you know, like, this is kind of getting stale. But, you know, I enjoy the lights and everything and just kind of throw it back over the cliff instead of, you know, putting it on the street, which is depressing when you see it in the city. Like you mentioned that, I think one of the last episodes, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Or like sticking out of a garbage.
Yeah, that is depressing. But see, when you live in the country, you can just throw it right back out there and it'll just biodegrade with the rest of everything. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
I feel it's funny. My mom... she is a tree person. I am not. I just don't. I don't have the time. But my mom, you know, every year, you know, put up the tree, put up the ornaments from my childhood, the whole thing. But she, a couple of years ago, moved to a fake tree where she's just like, it's so great, Sarah. Like, I just like take it out of the garage. Looks like a tree. And then she has like incense that's designed to smell like pine trees.
No way.
And she burns it, and so she feels like it's a real tree.
Oh, that's so funny. I like that idea of the incense, like that.
Well, what was funny is, like, I walked into her house, and I'm like, oh, Mom, it's really nice in here. And she's like, it's my incense. It's the pine tree incense. And I was like, holy shit, I thought it was the tree, but the tree is fake. Clearly not coming from the tree.
I might want some of that. That sounds pretty cool.
It felt very nostalgic.
I love that. And there's something comforting about pine because we get the dish soap, the Myers, and I usually get...
Yep, Mrs. Myers,
yeah, I get like
me
basil
too.
Basil or lavender or whatever it is, but they do these limited edition versions for holidays like peppermint and Iowa pine.
Well, I didn't know that.
They have an Iowa pine that might be new from this year. I bought like 8 of them because they're limited edition.
Is it because Elijah's from Iowa?
No, it has nothing to do with that, but I love the smell. It is, Sarah, it is, I wash my hands with
it. It is a lovely smell.
Oh, it is so yummy. It makes me want to wash the dishes.
That's awesome. I did not know that. And I'm a pretty big Myers buyer, especially, you know, the Airbnb, like it's all Myers, you know, and I was just sort of like look on Amazon and see what the cheaper, you know, lemon verbena or whatever it is.
I don't like that one.
But I have not seen the pine. I would love that for myself.
I'll hold one for you.
Please. Just throw it really far.
I'll put your name on it. I'll add you to the wait list.
And I'll get it. Well, Heather, I know you're not going to love this story.
Oh, no.
No one's going to love this story, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell it to you. We talk sometimes about, you know, just especially in the winter, you know, the houses are kind of, you know, it's cold and leaves are dead and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's sort of been my MO for the last solid month and a half. You know, it's just kind of... we've had a real cold spell. We had quite a bit of rain in the Bay Area, which is good. Mm-hmm. You know, always, you know, you have to say that, you know, or you jinx yourself. It's good. We need it. But I was just like, oh my God. I mean, I wear galoshes all day long. There's just mud all over my house. Uh-huh. Like I can't take it. So one of the things that I've been struggling with is ants. Mm-hmm. Ants in my apartment, and I have now, I'm going to my third, well, I'm in my third winter here, so I mean, it's not that I you know, don't kind of know what the protocol is, but there's just never been critters or, you know, I don't know, bugs of any kind or ants or spiders really in my house until this winter. And I don't know why, but it's just something I've been dealing with. And the ants are more of a nuisance than anything. I know some people are like so disgusted by ants, but like when I see like a little ant like running around in a circle by itself, I'm like, oh, or, where's your
or carrying something on its back. You ever see it like with like a little piece of
not in my house anyway.
Oh, I've seen that where they're like they're carrying a piece like a crumb, you know, or something.
It's just like it just honestly like the ant thing is like I don't hate ants as a concept. And when I see a little ant by itself, I'm like, I'm about to murder you. I'm sorry. But like, I just, you know, you can't be in
it's
here.
It's not like a cockroach, it just, it, you know?
It kind of, no, God, no. No, it's it, like, I always feel like a little bad about it because I don't hate ants. Anyway, so, but, you know, again, like every morning, you know, I kind of like put my contacts in or put my glasses on. I look at the counter and I'm like, oh man, there's ants again. You know, okay, let's take care of this. The amount of like 409 and soft scrub that I've gone through, like just like dumping it down sinks, trying to figure out like, where are they coming from? Let's just make it, you know, not hospitable for them anymore. So much time. So I go into the bathroom the other day and, you know, as usual, there's a couple ants on the counter and I'm like, gosh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take everything off the counter, like, you know, like hairbrush and like makeup weird stuff and perfume and just like everything off the counter and let's douse this and just like get it super clean so the ants don't want to come back. Well, one of the things that's on my counter in my bathroom is a Sonos speaker, a Sonos One, you know, where, you know, I talk to Alexa and everything, you know, and I listen to like podcast or music if I'm in the shower. And I never move it because it's right next to the plug and it just sort of like sits in the corner, you know, and like, I don't know, like I just wipe it off, you know, if I think it looks dusty and it's fine. I move it for the first time in some time and I'm like, oh shit, there's a bunch of ants under the speaker. That's weird. Oh gosh. Okay, let's clean that up. Then I realize, Heather, that the ants have developed a colony inside the speaker.
No way.
And they start coming out of the mesh.
What?
Oh, yes.
Oh my God.
It is a full-on American Horror Story that you cannot, like, you can't make this stuff up. Like, and I once I realized what was happening, because I was, again, like, I'm like, I can barely see, so I, like, get my glasses, you know, and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, that's bad. So I take the speaker outside, you know, and I'm just like spraying it with 409. Like, I mean, so mean, like, you know, ant murder all over the place. For the next 12 hours, not even kidding, it's still actually out there. Ants were just like falling out of the mesh of the speaker. Hundreds of them.
Never heard anything like this. I've heard about
and it
like,
was in my bathroom.
I've heard like, about like mice in like engines of cars and rats and that kind of thing, but ants in a speaker? Huh, maybe it's a thing.
I mean, I assume it was sort of...
Maybe it's warm and comfy in there.
Kind of warm and comfy, yeah. I mentioned this to a friend and he was like, why would you ever put a speaker in a bathroom? That's such a dumb idea. Like that's, you know, like it's like a thirst trap. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, I live alone. I mean, there's a window in my bathroom. I never actually close the bathroom door when I'm taking a shower. Like it's not like it's wet in there. But I don't know, something terrible happened. So I actually, the speaker is still outside because I'm like, just like terrified of bringing it back inside now. And I've sprayed it with so much 409 that I'm like, I would be surprised if it works.
Don't electrocute yourself.
But it's a real nice speaker,
on.
So we'll see. We'll see. Oh my God. That's when the ant started to come out. And then I started to feel bad again because I'm like, oh man. I'm killing all of them. It's like, you know, like the Twin Towers or something.
I know it does seem like a dead, a bunch of dead ants, like in a line is kind of sad and they're all like wet and like, just like, aww, you know, broken apart. But I'm no ant expert, Sarah, but, you know, I've had a fair amount of exterminators come out to my Airbnbs. Cause you know, when you don't obviously it's a little bit more of an emergency when your business is getting overrun by some kind of critter. We've had mice problems. We've in the winter, a lot of these critters come out of the woodwork, which we've talked about on the show, in particular mice and ants. And up here, what I have learned, well, at least all of these exterminators tell me that ants love the rain.
I love, by the way, just real quick, like I love like Heather and her braces.
Oh my God, it's driving me crazy.
Did you understand me the first time? Let me say it again.
No, it's like really kind of subtle, but like I do catch myself sometimes. Like I really do feel like
you're like exterminators.
Like it's so embarrassing, but
it's not embarrassing. No, honestly, like if I didn't bring attention to it, I don't think anybody would.
It's kind of endearing, though.
I think it's very.
Well, it's funny because I think my boyfriend thinks it's cute too. Because sometimes we'll be talking, and then he'll kind of I see his eyes dart down to my mouth, and I'm like, "Why are you looking at my mouth?" And he's just like, it's cute the way you talk with your trays in." Or something. Yeah. I'm like, "God, you Aww. Really must love me." But Aww, yeah. So yeah, very cute. But seriously, I really do think it has to do with the wet, the rain, and also. I know you probably don't want to hear this because you're going to have to open up the yellow pages and make some phone calls, but really you have to get to the root of it because ants will just keep coming back. And we've had a similar problem in one of our cottages, and you have to find that there's like a launching point, the way they get into the house. There's something, there's a little area that they're able to, it's like a welcome mat, and they need to find where that is, where they're getting in, or you may never get rid of them. I mean, I think when it dries out, when the weather gets warmer, I think they should go away. But yeah, I don't know, exterminator, if I were you. And I know how you feel about killing critters. I do too. But they're just a bit of a nuisance.
Listen, once the Sonos speaker ant colony happened in my own bathroom, I was like, oh no, we're going nuclear. This is untenable. and we're still not over it. Although I took the speaker outside, you know, after dousing it again. Mm-hmm. Not sure if it'll ever work again, but I keep checking on it. It's like over on the other house's porch, like very far away from me. And I keep looking, and like the first day, like ants were just like pouring out of the very creepy. I mean, horror movie. And then the second day was like, just a few. I checked this morning and I didn't see any. Mm. So I'm like, you know, maybe we've done our job. Got to have to figure out where the speaker's going. Not going back in the bathroom. But yeah, it was.
Sarah, I have a movie recommendation for dramatic. You. It's okay. A sci-fi movie. It's really cool. It's from 1974, which is honestly that's the year I was born. And the 70s was a great decade for film. And it's a very famous movie. It's called Phase 4. And I might have mentioned it on the show, but it's about like ants basically turning a whole clan of ants kind of takes over like the world, basically. Oh, but it's not like
just what I need,
it's
Heather.
Not really scary. It's very interesting. It's very sci-fi. It has more of a sci-fi vibe than like a horror.
What's it called?
It's
Stage 4?
No, Phase 4. It's really good. Phase 4. It's really good. It's a good, like, for a cinephile, that is, right? The cinephile.
Cinephile, yeah. Cinephile.
God, okay, well, let me clear my throat. Yeah, I'm sorry about your ants. It is, it can be
That's all
very...
right. It's we're getting back to... We're getting back to real life, but yeah, it was something where I was just like, how long has this been going on? I just didn't know, you know, this was like a thing that I never really moved. Mm-hmm. Even like, you know, when I would clean my counter, I'd kind of clean around mm-hmm. it type thing. I did not realize what was happening. And it was, oh man, that was, gosh, it was a couple days ago. And I mean, it was something we're like, you know, again, like my contacts weren't in. I was like,
you're so
oh
vulnerable.
My God. Yeah, like I haven't even had any coffee yet. Coffee's still brewing. Not one sip.
You know,
and I'm like, all right, let's do it.
I feel for you because if I think too hard about it, I don't want to think too hard about the fact that there are critters living in places that you probably don't even know. Like we've talked about, you know, maybe the our shoes, that you should probably clean out your shoes before you put your feet in them. But it just makes me wonder. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are living among critters. There are more critters on this planet by far than humans and other carnivores,
yeah,
or herbivores. It's wild.
all the things. Yeah. Dinosaurs are dead, but lots of other animals still alive.
Well, at least we're not in Australia. Australia is, it's funny, I have this fantasy of like getting whisked off to like Australia with like, I don't know, just this silly little fantasy.
You do?
Yeah, kind of.
I did not know of this fantasy of yours.
One thing you don't know about me, Sarah.
Whisk me off to Australia and I'm just going to hang out with the dingoes and the kangaroos.
I love dingoes. I want a dingo and I want a kangaroo too. But the thing about Australia, it's just, there's something sort of romantic and mysterious for me because I've never been there, but I refuse to live there because of how many poisonous critters they have. I mean, by far. I can't remember what the stats are. I believe I mentioned this in a very early episode of how worried I was to go to Australia because of this. But I'll have to check my facts, but there's a lot. It's scary.
I have only been to Sydney and the surrounding areas just once, and that was some years ago. So, I mean, I could say I've been there, but I've seen very little of the continent. Mm-hmm. I do remember there being some really cute critters in trees.
Yeah.
Not monkeys, but like just...
Like lemurs and stuff.
Did you ever see a koala in a tree? I did. Oh. Actually,
jealous.
But I had to like seek it out. It wasn't like in the city.
What about a sloth?
Itself. But didn't see a sloth. Although I would love to see a sloth and just like cuddle and maybe take a little bit of a nap.
I love together. Sloths. They're so cute.
But my point is, I don't remember it being creepy crawly. But I. You know, I mean,
you weren't like in the outback.
What are you going to do? I mean, Hawaii's like that too. And you go to Hawaii all the time.
No, you're right. I do all the time. Yeah, I'm there all the time, every other weekend.
No, I mean, you've been there a handful
of times.
I've
been there a lot, actually.
Heather is in Hawaii
again
every other week.
God, she's always in Hawaii, that girl. No, I'm at home swishing with my fancy coconut Listerine, Sarah. Yeah.
There you go. No need to go to Bora Bora. Why would you?
Yeah, seriously. Speaking of actually fancy luxury, I actually just came back from a sweet little spa week. You know about it, Sarah, because I've been telling you little bits and pieces of how it went.
Yeah.
It was actually, the point of it was to not celebrate, but sort of acknowledge the passing of my dad from last year. And so I had booked this nice trip for me and my sister to... You know, just sort of
take a breather
and sort of acknowledge the year that has passed and treat ourselves to something really nice, because I know my dad would want that, because he used to take us to these places and we go to fancy meals and get nice wine. And it was also my sister's birthday. So it was just this whole thing that we treated ourselves to. And it was really, really, really nice. It was really needed in a lot of ways, you know, physically and mentally. And it's, you know, you might as well treat yourself while you're kind of memorializing or remembering something, you know, and you want to remember things. You want to sort of at some point.
Equate it with like a positive experience.
Exactly. You can't be sad all the time. I mean, it's like you just can't. And I'm not, you know, and so it just sort of reminds you that, you know, life goes on and, you know, treat yourself anyway. So there were a lot of things that kind of struck me on this trip. I mean, I'm not going to get into every single detail, but it was a lovely little adventure. But obviously how much food I can consume, sometimes I'm like, wow. I mean, we really did glut it up. And then the
impression... sounds great.
It was so great. And then the impression... I almost felt like a little guilty, you know? But the impressive amount of time that I can float quietly in a pool, just kind of... listening, like in a meditative way, like listening to passersby, like you hear a helicopter go by in the distance, and then like all the audio kind of is different. You have your eyes closed and you're floating, and it's just like this really cool like audio symphony. I just really enjoyed that. That was actually a huge part of like my relaxation. But I want to specifically talk about strangers. I have this obsession with strangers, mostly I think during the pandemic, because I sort of miss being around a lot of strangers. And But, you know, I don't want to give the wrong impression here. There are good ones and there are bad ones. Plus, I want to talk a little bit about chickens. So one of the, I would say one of the biggest things that I miss about life in the before time, Sarah, is the random encounters with strangers. And I've brought this up before. We used to be kind of barflies in the best way possible. And I used to hang, I loved bartenders. They were my friends and people who sat next to me. It was always so fun.
People you sit next to in the plane. The best conversations.
Oh, it's the best. Like, yeah, some of the best conversations I've had are with random strangers on a plane that you sit next to. And
yeah,
you can learn a lot from strangers. And you know, obviously, maybe you learn a lot more from the people that you love and you talk to all the time, obviously, but there's little snippets of wisdom and, you know, anecdotes that these people that you don't know anything about tell you that really strike you, you know, that might really affect you. So I had a lot of those. I had a lot of fun happenstance, just run-ins with people. I mean, some people too, when I meet them, I feel like I was meant to meet them. It's like this very fleeting conversation, but I'm like, I walk away feeling just uplifted
and energized.
Yeah. Like everything's okay in the world. Like this person went through this and they are human too.
Yeah.
And
I know that feeling. You kind of walk away almost like that was like a movie.
Yes. Oh my God. This one in particular was a movie. So I'm in this huge, it's like an Olympic size, hot, springs pool at this place that I stayed at in Calistoga. It's a phenomenal pool and it's all has like healing properties and all that stuff. And there's steam coming off of it. And it's so great. This is the pool that I was floating around. They have like noodles and you can kind of like hang out on them. And I met this, I'm doing one of my chill sessions. I met this Russian lady. She was from Moscow and she was probably in her late 60s. She was so cute and jovial, just cute face, you know, just like a really pleasant lady. And we just started talking and she, you know, brought up that she lost her husband last year. She wasn't sad or anything, but she was just telling me about like her mourning process and she was going on this like pilgrimage throughout California to Big Sur and by herself. And she just kind of,
that's so adorable.
In her thick accent, she just was like, you know, you have to think of, you can't think of these people as not being here anymore. Like, what is here? What is it that we see? There's all these layers and a lot of it we don't see. And I can't really put it into the right words because of the way she articulated it. But I think I got the meaning of it. And it was just a very sweet interaction. And when I had to leave, we were rushing off to dinner and I get out of the pool and she goes, I'm like running off in my, God, I keep getting these phone calls. Sorry. I've gotten so many phone calls. I'm going to talk about this later in the show, actually, keeping up with everybody. Okay. But I jump out of the pool in my swimsuit. I'm running off to meet my sister and she yells out in her Russian accent. She's like, you a rock star. It was like so cute. I can't explain it. It was just a fun little interaction. And then I got this fancy facial from this male esthetician. I've never had a facial from a male, but he was just a very fun guy. Like he just gave me all this great advice and, you know, kind of told me that collagen is all hype, blah, 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 blah. We just had like a great little bond. And it was just like, I just felt great after, like I met a new friend. And then I met a couple New Yorkers next to us at dinner. And it was just, I think you put yourself in those people's shoes. And so it feels refreshing because you're like, you're sitting across from somebody.
It's a reminder that you're not the only person going through
exactly.
something.
And like these young New Yorkers didn't seem fazed by wearing masks or anything. And they were off on like this foodie tour of California. And like, it was just so fun talking to them. Anyway, that is all. And always like the waiters and waitresses and all that. We had so much fun just kind of, you know, talking about life with all of them. And they were super, super friendly, you know, despite everything. But then you have those strangers that are kind of, I don't know, out of touch, you know, in their own world, annoying, whatever you want to call it. But like,
yeah, we're like, the conversation strikes up and you're like, what?
Yeah, there were some people who, you know, I think a lot of people, and we've talked about this before, you know, and I don't blame them. I think people have definitely become more kind of like reserved in themselves because they're more afraid to take your mask off and talk to people or, you know, like make a connection because they're worried about getting sick or whatever. And I totally get that. But this girl who was floating around in the pool with me, I'm not joking, she was on a floaty listening. She was watching a full-on movie without headphones on a floaty at like a quiet zone, like spa pool. It was the weirdest thing. I'm like, I can hear you.
I mean,
movie.
Also, like, I mean, that's very bold. Like, was she for sure it was not going to fall in the pool? And like,
I don't know. I mean, it looked,
you know, ruin her iPad or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it was on.
I
one
would
of
never
those
do that.
I know. I was just like, and then also, I'd be very embarrassed. Like, oh, just like kind of pushing my audio on other people. And
yeah, just like noise pollution.
Yeah, and I noticed more and more of that lately, like in weight rooms or just like small spaces, people will like watch a YouTube video without headphones and just like watch a whole video, and there's people like, it's like a quiet space.
Like, especially like, it depends on what you're watching too. Like some things are like, I don't know, it's like a recipe thing, but other things are like, you know, they're dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, it's like a music
like,
video.
I have definitely
loud.
Seen that where I like, I look at them and I'm like, you don't know that I'm not offended?
I know. It's
because I'm not. It's, but like, what if I was?
Exactly. And it's really, really, in those cases, it's hard for me to put myself in their shoes because I don't I just don't get it. But yeah, anyway. And so then there were the chickens, and I needed a break from those humans. So I went over, there's a little, a chicken coop at this fancy, you know, spa hotel. Really, really nice little outdoor area with like gardens.
Do they have like,
and,
like, are they doing eggs? And
they're
the
doing
whole
eggs. Yeah, they're not being like, yeah, they're not being, you know, slain and eaten or anything. They're very eaten. Fat,
yeah,
happy
yeah.
chickens. I mean, the fattest chickens I've ever seen. Actually, they all had names, you know, and they had a little board outside that had their names. One of the names was Heather, if you can believe it. And then it was like Peppers.
Heather
and,
the chicken.
Yes,
that's perfect.
I don't get that, but okay. And I mean, she wasn't the prettiest of all of them, but I think Peppers was really cute. But anyway, it was so funny. There were about 12 of them, and they were. They all came up to the fence. They were very friendly. And I just kind of like took some video, took some photographs. They were squawking at each other. And just, it felt soothing hanging out with them because they're just, you know, they got yeah. little pea brains and they're just like curious about you. And they were all like, they were not scared of me at all. Like, I felt like we just like had a little hangout session. But yeah, there's, you know, and I'm not the first person that's ever felt soothed by animals. I'm not saying that, but chickens, man, I never thought.
I'm a chicken fan. Mm-hmm. My friends Frank and Trish, who you know, Heather, mm-hmm. For some time had Dolores and Valencia, the chickens, in their backyard in San Francisco. They have like a full-on yard, but I mean, it's still, even if you have a yard in a city, it's not a very big yard. Mm-hmm. And they lived back there, and you'd go, like, you know, we'd go down, you know, and have a little rosé sometimes on a nice day, and they'd just be like, burk, burk, you know, and like just jump on top of your lap if you let them. They were like totally fun, like just like house
they
pets.
Are they're really awesome. Like, I've kind of considered getting some. I have a workman who has all kinds of birds. He even has, what is the kind of bird he has? He has this like bird that doesn't fly. So it's like some kind of hen or a goose or something that just doesn't fly. So it just hangs out in his backyard.
A quail?
No, it's not a quail. It's bigger than that. But it's like a okay. Japanese blah, I don't know. But he has a name for it. Like, it's like his pet. I'm like, that's so cool.
You know what my favorite TikTok is? Bird TikTok.
Oh, really? Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
More
bird
than
TikTok
cat TikTok?
Is... I mean, cat TikTok and dog TikTok, of course. I mean, that's a given. Mm-hmm. But bird TikTok is very interesting. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
I'll
yeah,
have to log back in like, and check that out. I haven't been on there for days.
There's just so many birds who, like I like kind of know their lives now and their routines. Mm-hmm. And there's this one bird. It's a, I don't know if they're from Mexico, but they speak Spanish. It's a, you know, a Spanish-speaking family. So the bird only knows Spanish words.
No way.
But one of the kids who runs the TikTok, you know, it's sort of the joke is that, like, you know, when the bird's in a mood, you know, he'll just be like, rah, rah, you know, do his thing, you know. And so there's like subtitles. It's great.
I'll have to check that out. You see, so you're still a pretty big TikTok person.
I'm a daily TikTok person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm not on. Thank God. I'm not on TikTok all day. I don't make any. Uh-huh. I just don't have the time. Uh-huh. But I love TikTok mm-hmm. very much. Yeah.
I think it's just finding the time for it, really.
bird TikTok and people who live on like large farms with like horses mm-hmm. and goats and stuff. I'm following all of them.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, I'm so glad you could relate, and now we can commiserate about farm animals. I'm so happy. You know, I love, we've got goats down the street and sheep, and I mean, I love those guys. I'm like, I want a goat, I want a sheep. There's a lot of really beautiful farmland up here with like healthy looking farm animals, not like, you know, the stuff you see on the Highway 5 where it's like slaughterhouses and stuff like that. But anyways, yeah, man, that tsunami, I came home to that tsunami warning, and it's crazy because this whole area is very tsunami zone. There's signs everywhere. And the adjacent town is very at sea level. I mean, it's like right at sea level. There's a bay, there's these dunes, and like where the water kind of comes up, and it's a little scary because they call this one area called the Bottoms. And I mean, it's because it's just, it is so low. Those are the areas that if I were living there, I'd be pretty freaked out with that tsunami warning the other day. But we live further north, like way up on a cliff. And boy, could I tell though that I've never seen the tide as high as it was, and the waves were huge. But it was kind of creepy. I mean, it was like, wow, like it makes you really feel like we're just at the mercy of like the plate tectonics of the earth, you know? Like, I'm so glad I live on the edge of a cliff, but I'm at least we're set back enough that it would take a very, very large volcanic eruption or earthquake to make us fall off the cliff or have like take a tsunami go up over the cliff, because we're pretty high up there. Anyway, I felt very, very grateful that I live where I live.
I had a similar feeling the other day when I had gone to the beach. Otis and I go to the nearest beach to us, the ocean. Mm-hmm. About once a week. I mean, we don't always get there, but I try to because he loves it so much, you know, and he eats seaweed and then he has diarrhea later. It's great. But you know, it is both of our most happy place. And so Friday morning, there was no tsunami warning. I didn't know anything about Tonga, had not heard a thing, but Friday morning, pretty early, we went out there and I always take him early to run him around because dogs aren't supposed to be off leash, but like nobody really cares. But I'm not trying to like run into a, you know, a ranger either. Mm-hmm. And we get there and it's sort of like, it kind of reminds me of almost where your house is, Heather. Like as you're driving into like, it's a state park, you're way up a cliff and you can go all the way down to like this parking lot. But I always just park kind of on this like side, like halfway down, and then I just walk down the rest of the way. There's a trail, it's fine. And as I'm walking down, I'm like, oh, the tide is really high. Shoot. Which isn't the end of the world. It just means that we can't cross certain areas that we usually, I kind of like to do, like, get my steps in, you know, if I'm going to be there anyway. Or I'm like, oh, yeah, we're just sort of relegated to this area. Mm-hmm. Then when I get down to the bottom, this girl, this woman, and her dog, they're just kind of leaving. And she goes, she's kind of looking out to sea. And she's like, eh, something's not right. I'm going to leave. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, we're just kind of going to run around a little bit, you know, whatever. And so she leaves. And so it's just me and Otis. It's just the two of us. And you know it is because there's no way you can get down unless you park where I parked, you know? So mm-hmm. I kind of know what I'm getting into. Like, there's no one else down here. And the waves are so big and the tide is so high that, like, we were kind of crunched up against, like, the rocks. Mm-hmm. And these rocks, I can't stress enough, like, I mean, they're 50 feet high, wow. maybe more. It's just a wall of rocks.
Yeah.
And they're really beautiful mm-hmm. until you're like, oh, I could not climb up this if I was in a pinch. Mm-hmm. And it was so weird. I kind of like was like, okay, Otis, eat your seaweed. Like, we got to get out of here. Like, something's weird about this. Then I get home and it's like, tsunami warning.
Well, aren't you glad you didn't? You probably wouldn't have gone to the beach if you knew about, because you always had a phobia of tsunamis, haven't you? Because you lived up Venice, which was a major tsunami area.
The entire time I lived in Venice, because it's flat and my house was right on the water. Mm-hmm. And it was also just like, I didn't feel like structurally it was going to withstand anything dramatic, mm-hmm. you know, that got thrown at it. I was constantly worried about tsunamis mm-hmm. and people would say, Sarah, I mean, I think your like anxiety is getting the best of you. And I'm like, I know it is. However, you drive all around this town and there's like tsunami, you know, like here's the tsunami, like here's the getaway, road, you know, mm-hmm. that you're supposed to take, and you're only supposed to go 40 degrees. Like, there are signs all over this place. Like, clearly I'm not the first person to think about this.
Yeah, no, tsunamis are scary. I mean they're kind of unassuming. I think that's what is extra scary about them, is they do a slow crawl and you just don't, it's, they're creepy. They creep, mm-hmm. they creep and they crawl. I don't know. It's,
well, the whole thing is like the tide goes way out. Yes. Right. And then it comes back in and that's worse. And yeah. that is nightmarish to me.
It really is. I totally agree.
You know, if I saw that and I was like down on the, you know, like at sea level, I'd mm-hmm. be like, we are out of here.
Also, I shouldn't feel too confident on top of this cliff because, you know, you never know. It could be, I mean, it could really rise the sea level this high. I mean, what do I know? Especially an underground volcano. I mean, that's serious business.
Well, that's uplifting, Heather.
Well, email us if you guys had any experience with the tsunami. Maybe you're on the other side of the globe and you experienced a tsunami warning. Let us know. hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Please do. So, Heather, you talked about taking a trip recently, and it sounds like it was really fun and restorative, you know, on some level. Mm-hmm. And I have, it's so funny. My mom was at my house the other day, and like, my mom is so in love with my dog Otis that, I mean, she might love him like slightly more than she loves me. And, you know, every time we're all together, you know, she kind of goes like, you know, I could take him for like up to a week, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to like go somewhere. And I'm like, well, I'm not going anywhere, Mom. Well, but if you did, maybe, like, you know, almost like, get out of here, kid, so I can take your dog. It's great. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything more. You know, yeah. it's a great, you know, we all have a good relationship, but it just so turns out that, and I haven't since the last time I was on a plane, which was a private plane. This was for a job I was doing. It wasn't my own, obviously, but that was the very beginning of 2020. Mm-hmm. And
this was to San Francisco, or where was that again?
Yeah. It was like, it was to LA.
Okay.
But we took off from Santa Rosa Airport. Mm. Anyway, but, you know, I mean, it, which was super fun. Like, I always sit with the pilot and, like, you know, have my headphones on so I can hear, like, you know, all the you know, people at the control towers talking to each other and stuff. But that was over 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well over, you know, we are past that. Have not been on an airplane, and that's all COVID related. I mean, I'm a happy traveler.
You are.
Things have changed for me, especially with Otis, just because, you know, you can have someone watch your cat or whatever, but when it's a big old dog who has separation anxiety, it's like you really have to kind of think about it. But I had done that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was always sort of sad to leave him, but, you know, gonna be back in 2 days type thing. Yeah. And, you know, he was always okay. But a friend of mine who, in our COVID times, he and his now wife got married.
Mm-hmm.
They were planning a wedding. Then with the COVID thing, it got, you know, postponed. And then it kind of got postponed again, you know, where you're sort of just getting these, like, group emails kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he was like, I don't know when or if we're ever going to be able to do this, and we want to get married, so we're just going to get married. And they were married, just the two of them. I think they had, like, an officiant, you know, like on Zoom or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're already married. But the celebration of that was always something that was like, once things get back to normal, wink, wink,
mm-hmm.
we'll have that party that we were going to have in the first place. They have decided that it's this July, and that is going to be in Ohio, and a state I've never been to, by the way. And I said that I would go, but I mean, and again, this is July. It's currently January. I have quite a bit of time to think about this. But I mean, I was like, of course I'll be there. These are good friends of mine. I mean, I would feel really bad if I didn't go. But I am already stressed about it. Like, I'm legit stressed about, like,
6 months in advance. Okay,
so, like, I have to, like, probably fly into Cleveland and then, like, rent a car and then get to, like, wherever their area is and, like, find an Airbnb or, like, a motel or whatever, you know, that's, like, close to the venue. And, like, oh my God. And, like, Otis can't come with me. And so, like, where the hell is he going to go? Like, he'll go with my mom, but still stresses me out. The whole thing is, like, I am legit stressed about something that is 6 months away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually do not blame you. We've been making plans and then unraveling our plans. We, you know, just like we were going to go to LA, we're going to go to Hawaii. Thankfully, we didn't buy the tickets, but things keep changing. And a lot of it does have to do with COVID and, you know, someone having cold feet, and other people's plans changing. You know, I can't tell you. I mean, almost every single one of my friends, either their close family member or their close friends or themselves have gotten this Omicron. I mean, it's like, there's so many wrenches out there that are being thrown. And I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait to buy a ticket. You know, maybe you just wait a few months just to kind of see how things shake out, and then don't worry yourself about it. You know, so much could change between now and then. It could be totally great and open up and you won't be as worried and your mom will take out. But, you know, we tend to worry about stuff that we have no control over and that you have no idea what the outcome is. It could be great and you're worrying about nothing. But, I mean, I'm giving you advice that I should give myself because I do the same thing. It's hard to say.
It's weird to, you know, I don't want to, like, go on and on about this, but, like, because I know a lot of people either also haven't been on a plane or have, you know, and it's like, yeah, you got to wear a mask and, you know, it's just a different world than it used to be. And I will 100% participate in that world.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm kind of like, well, that doesn't sound fun at all.
No, I have had some friends who have gone on trips in the last, you know, 6 months to a year. And, you know, they had a great time and said it was worth it, but that it was really grueling. Like, going there and getting back, all the paperwork, the testing, the flights, the ornery, you know, passengers, the disgruntled staff. I mean, there's some, and then the masks. Like, I went to a quick little doctor's appointment this morning, was in the waiting room, and even for me, wearing the mask in the waiting room is hard. Like, I really feel smothered. Like, I don't like it. Like, I when I get outside, I'm like, oh, they rip it off, you know? Like, I really feel like I have a hard time breathing in masks. I think, I don't know what it is. Maybe I have asthma. I don't know. It's not something that I want to do on an international flight. And I'm just really hoping it's not going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
I don't want to belabor this last thing, but I would say that, you know, obviously, you know, we're talking about the pandemic. It's been a few years now, and these few years have proved that you don't have to be physically close to people to be close to people. And, you know, when you and I moved around a lot, Sarah, and I can't tell you how heartbroken I would be when I would move to LA from San Francisco, or to San Francisco from LA, or to New York from San Francisco, where I left people behind, like people, like including you, that I was really close to, and we were in a really tight place, and then I moved away. And geography was always really challenging because, yeah, you got to get on the phone and you don't see them, you know, especially if you have like regular hangout times, like during, you know, every week, like weekly hang times. And so obviously things have really changed. Not a lot of people are seeing a lot of people, but I've never felt closer to people. I mean, maybe never is a strong word, but I feel like I'm struggling to just keep up with all my people. And I think part of it is, you know, we're older now. So like we do have these very established relationships, and I don't see a lot of these people in, you know, I used to have like my weekly dinner dates and that kind of thing with like a handful of people. And I don't do that much anymore. It's more few and far between. And this is not a complaint, by the way. I love my people, and I don't want to lose touch or not talk to any of them. I just, there's only so much time in the day. And also the days seem to be blazing by. So that doesn't help either. But it's interesting because I just recently lost two people that were very close to me that I talked to on the phone a lot. And for some reason, I feel like I have way more people now to catch up with. Like my favorites list, when it's so weird, it's like it grew. I think maybe it is part of the pandemic because I've created these sort of distanced relationships that actually have gotten maybe stronger than they would have been in person. I don't know what it is. It's very interesting, but there's a lot of days I find myself like on the phone, like all day, you know, and sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, I can't talk on the phone anymore. You know? And by 6 o'clock, I turn my ringer off and I'm just kind of like spent, you know, I want to watch a movie, drink some wine. I don't usually love talking in the evening. I'm more of a, like a daytime talker. So oftentimes my friends with kids want to talk at like 8:30 or 9:00, and I'm just like, I'm kind of just like zoned out. But yeah, just the people close to me, friends and family that I feel like I need to catch up with regularly. And my boyfriend so often rolls his eyes because he's like looking for me in the house, and I'm like, he finds me in some room and I'm on the phone again. He's like, you're on the phone again? Like, who are you talking to this time? You know, and obviously the pandemic, you know, pushed us all indoors and all that. And, you know, now we're like more phone, text, DMs, blah, blah, blah. So it's totally understood. But I'm writing so much more like, oh, I'm so sorry for the delay, or blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure I need to do that. I think people understand. But I have mentioned on the show before that, you know, things like Slack and Marco Polo and group text has really helped. All of those things have helped me a lot to not be on the phone all the time. You know, if I send a Marco Polo video to somebody that's a couple minutes long, it kind of serves as a phone conversation, you know, in a lot of ways. It was funny, just the other night I was thinking about my friend Lisa. You know Lisa, she's a listener.
I do. Hi, she, Lisa.
She, her and I, you know, we'll chat via text and occasionally we'll talk on the phone. And you know, she's one of those people that I'm like, oh, I want to give her a call. I should talk to her more often. And we were chatting last night just via text, and she goes, I think I have a sense that I talk to you more often than I do because I listen to your show. And it made me think about all the people in my life who do listen to this show, and it's not all of them, but I do have a handful of friends that listen. And it does kind of feel like, you know, because we'll kind of chat about an episode or something. And it's like, I see how it's like, oh, I already talked to Heather because she was talking at me for an hour, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. I really do feel like yesterday I talked to like three people. I had like long catch up conversations with them on the phone. And then like the day was over. I was like, okay, I'll watch the Yellow Jackets finale and then the day's over. I'd like to hear from you guys about this. Has your social world become more lonely or crazy in a different way? Email us at Hyatt, have such a good time. Email us at...
That'll be our spinoff show, everybody.
That's our phone number. Call us at 1-800-HAVE-SUCH-A-GOOD-TIME.
Let's have such a good time.com.
That's actually a pretty good name.
It is good.
And also, while you're at it, let us know if you're having such a good time on Have Such a Good Day.
Yeah, please do. I know what you mean, though, Heath. There have definitely been times where this is something that, and I don't want to make light of it because I don't want to, but when I think about like depression, I don't feel that I've ever experienced like chronic depression.
Yeah.
I definitely have lows.
Sure.
You know, and then I have highs, mm-hmm. You know, where I'm kind of like, okay, well that low was probably some sort of someone would describe it as low grade depression or something like
yeah.
that. But there have been times, and it often happens over the weekend, where I actually, like, I just have time to myself. Like, I'm not working. If I want to be social, I can be. But mm-hmm. there are many weekends where, you know, I'm just not. You know, I don't see a lot of people these days mm-hmm. By design. And I kind of, you know, it's 9:00 and I'm, you know, 9 p.m. And I'm like, ah, I like, can't wait to go to bed. And mm-hmm. I kind of think to myself, like, am I depressed?
Yeah.
Am I not wanting to be awake enough to enjoy being awake?
Yeah. But it's and, so you know, yummy to sleep. I think it's so nice to crawl in bed. It's such a luxury.
It
you
is.
Know?
Yeah, it is. And that's usually what I arrive at is like, no, Sarah, you're just like warm and comfy mm-hmm. and you want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and you're going to get up early anyway. So might as well get some good sleep. But there are definitely times that I sort of wonder yeah. like, what would it feel like to be like, oh, I'm going to bed because I don't want to be awake anymore?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That kind of thing.
I think you would know. I really do. And I'm sure you have nights like that. I think a lot of people do. But I think I get the sense that you're, sure, our lives are not as exciting on it in an exciting level that they used to be. But we're also not as young. But I do think yeah. that you do a lot of things that make you happy. And maybe a lot of those things are being solo and that's fine. You know, I mean, I get a lot of joy from doing a jigsaw puzzle. I mean, gosh, I hate to admit right. that, but
my Wordle of the day. I mean,
yeah,
I,
Wordle,
it's the
are
first
you
thing
on
I
Wordle
do every
too?
Morning.
Oh my God. I can't, I just, I don't know. I'm not sure I like it yet. I'm really into word games. You know me, I'm on all kinds of word games and I'm really on this, like, I mean, I've always been a Words with Friends gal. I can't do the Wordle. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's not much to it.
No. You just have to guess like, a five-letter word
either,
that
you
has...
You figure yeah. it out or you don't.
Yeah.
I'm on a roll right now, so I'm like feeling pretty good about myself. You know,
why?
Like,
it's so funny
it,
how these
three.
Things pop up and they go like wildfire because all my friends are doing it. Okay, I'm gonna give it another stab.
Give
but
it
Sarah,
a try.
I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about the expression? Like usually it happens like in an email, but how do you feel about the expression like sorry for the delay or yeah sorry for the delayed response? Or does that bug you? Does it irk you?
Well, I mean, it better not, because I use it all the time when I say it to other people. Mm-hmm. No it doesn't bother me. I mean, I figure if someone says, oh, I'm so sorry for the delay, you know, or apologies, you know, ... I figure, okay, yeah, you know, the email got buried or you were busy.
Yeah.
I give them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do that. I mean, when I say like, I'm so sorry for the delay, it's like, it's not because I've been like looking at your email, like cackling and not wanting to respond to you. Like I really did, like it kind of got buried and like it was on my to-do list yeah. and I finally got
That's
to it. Sorry
visual,
for the delay.
You cackling yeah. by yourself in your basement. You're just like,
yeah, they're just going to wait for me. But Heather, why do you ask?
Well, I just, I, I use that a lot. Like, and I've noticed that I'm using it more because I'm really scrambling. It's not even just like my friend group or my family, but like, you know, we run these Airbnbs. So there, I get a lot of pings from people that have questions or whatever. And I'm just like, I'm rushing to just get back to people all the time. And I've got this business to run and I get these phone calls and these emails that I have to get back to people about stuff. And I feel behind. I just feel behind right now, yeah. I think. And so I think I read something online about, I can't remember what it was. It might've been via The Atlantic, about some journalists saying that they cannot stand that response, that obviously that like, is a given. Sorry for the delay. And it like, it's something that really irks them. And so I was sort of curious. I'm like, well, I use that a lot. Like, is that, I don't want to
irk other
people.
Like stating the obvious.
Yeah. And, stating the obvious. Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if I, I don't know. If you, Heather, had a tea party and I was late to the party, as I walked
sounds
in.
Sounds like a fun party.
You know, let's, yeah, totally fun. Mm-hmm. So much tea. I drink a lot of tea these days, guys. But if I walked in and I was like very late, I'd be like, I'm so sorry I'm late.
Yeah, of course.
Here's why.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Like if you care to even know and, you know, you could be bent out of shape about me being late or you could be like, oh, no big deal. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's the same thing,
yeah.
You know, with that response. Like, sorry for the delay. Like, it's a courtesy.
Yeah, I agree.
Someone could still be like, you still should have gotten back to me earlier than this. I don't accept your apology, mm-hmm. but that's on them kind of.
I agree. I'd be curious to hear what you guys think out there. Hi at havesuchagoodday.com. Does that phrase, like something like that, like sorry for the delayed response.
Yeah,
or
is
does
there
that
a phrase
bug you guys?
That just grinds your gears?
Yeah, grinds your gears.
Speaking of all the folks who support us, you know who you are if you're listening. That is you. And we love you. And thank you so much for supporting us. If you happen to be listening and aren't already a patron of ours, patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where to find out more about how you can directly contribute to the show. We are completely community supported and we cannot thank you enough, all of you, for helping us make our show every month. And if you do join the Patreon at $5 or any level, but $5 minimum, you can hop into our Discord, which is a really fun discussion. We've all become such good buds in there, and I consider our Discorders my really good friends, and thank you in advance. That's almost like the same thing as like, sorry for the delay. Yeah. Thank you in advance for contributing.
It's so true. It's so true. It's like a given. Yeah. But you know, it's funny. We've been talking a lot
about.
Thanks
in advance for doing this thing for me you didn't want to do. I've already thanked you though, so you have to do it.
But no, our Discorders are awesome. And we're talking about a lot of shows we're watching right now, and I'm trying to catch up, and I've been gone. So I've been sort of AFK, if you will, if people even use that anymore, or maybe that expression grinds your gears.
I would know what you meant.
I know we used to use that a lot back in the day. I don't see it that much anymore though. It's usually, you know what I mean? It's like BRB, I think has become AFK.
If somebody knew my habits enough, mm-hmm. knowing that like I actually usually am sitting at a keyboard.
Yeah, you are.
Doing something, uh-huh. you know? Work or fun or whatever it is. If I was like, oh, I was AFK, it means like, wow, I was like away from my computer. I couldn't actually respond.
You're like actually out in the world.
Sorry for the delay. Apologies.
On that note.
So many apologies.
We do have an increased patron, Jill. That's all I got is Jill. I love one of my best friend's names is Jill. So I love that name. Welcome to the
fold. I have a cousin, Jill, who I don't think this is, unless she's like a
mystery
secret
Jill.
Fan of the show. But Mystery Jill, thank you so much. We really appreciate that. We also got a really nice email from from Kyle. Now, Kyle is 2120's tuxedo cat. So Kyle and 2120, they're a, you know, bonded pair. But Kyle, the cat, was the one that wrote us this time, who I think was addressing this to you, Heather, saying, I know someone who's going to check out the True Bill app that will send opinions within a month, and will send his opinions within a month. Now, the Truebill app, as I understand it, Heather, is all about trying to keep track of all the things that you're subscribed
exactly,
to.
Exactly, like your Netflix and your Amazon. It doesn't get out of control. Exactly, you're not like overpaying, or you know when to cancel. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Kyle the cat also asked me if my cat Ralphie was okay, because I think the last time we all talked, he was not feeling so great. And, you know, he's doing pretty great. He's doing, first of all, I have now had Ralphie for just under 2 months. Mm-hmm. It's very new. And my mom came over the other day and, you know, I was like showing her how I like trim his nails and everything, because he's a polydactyl. He has like a lot of nails. You know, and she was just like, I don't know how you do it. And I felt so good about myself, you know, where I was like, I am kind of a cat whisperer.
You are.
You know, like I choose lemons for sure, you know, so that's on me. But like, I really like,
you choose
Ralphie
lemons.
Is, you know, they're just, you know, they're expensive. They have all sorts of problems. But Ralphie is such a great little cat. Like he's really just come into his own in the house lately.
I can't wait to
he
meet
and Otis
him.
Get along great. He is so
sounds like
cute.
A real cutie pie. Well, Kyle also said he said he hopes that this year that Ralphie might find a girlfriend. And he says, love to all from effin' frozen NYC. I really like this guy's style. He's guy, gal, whoever you are, tuxedo cat. We love you.
We do love
human.
You, Kyle in 2120. Ralphie, I don't know. So when I adopted Ralphie, they said very specifically, he's 7 years old and 2 weeks. And I was like,
seven?
Says who?
Wow.
7 years old, but 2 weeks? Wow. Like not even like 6 months or, you know, a more
that's
common
pretty accurate.
Roundup type of thing where I'm like, did someone tell you that he was 7 years old in 2 weeks? Nobody could really answer that question for me because he had sort of been bounced around between shelters before I ever got to him. But he's fixed, and that was, I mean, I didn't have to do it. He was already fixed. I don't think he's going to have a girlfriend, but he sure does like Otis. I don't think they're in love. I think they're
getting
happy,
along.
Coexisting siblings.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah.
It's a fun, I love the new animal dynamic. As you know, I'm waiting impatiently to get my own dog, but I have to wait a little bit longer. So on that note, I think we're going to wrap this baby up.
I know. We've just been yapping up a storm today, Heather.
We have.
It's because we have stuff to say.
It's what we do.
But yes, thank you everybody for listening to the show. And for those of you who have been with us from the beginning, 132 episodes. How about that?
Oh, wow.
How about that? And for anybody who might have joined us recently, we'd love to know more about you. Who are you? How'd you find us? Do you like us? Hi@havesuchagooddayat.com is a great way to send that email. Unless you want to hop in our Discord, which described earlier, you can also do.
Yes, and you don't have to you don't have to talk a lot in Discord. You can just kind of observe and
I sometimes go in there and just like read everything everybody wrote and was like, oh cool, like I feel like I'm like caught up, but like I don't really have anything to say.
Exactly, and that's fine.
And that's fine too. Well, listen y'all, we're gonna get on out of here. We will be back next week with episode 133. Until then, I hope everybody stays safe and warm and away from tsunamis. You know, wear that N95 mask.
Yep.
And we'll be back doing it all again next week. Until then, I will remain Sarah.
And I will remain Heather. Forever.
Have such a good day.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.